but I'm singing words that I know about, that God has not failed me in the darkest of night, in the deepest of pit. When I gave up on me, God did not give up on me. He has never, ever failed us. And that's a reason to rejoice this morning. That's a reason to be glad. Like David said, I was glad when they said, come into the house of the Lord. Come on. And then we can worship and sing this together. And we can look around the room and there's just testimonies in the looking, in the looking, in the looking. I see testimonies all in this room. And I realize as I look around this room that God has not failed me. He has not failed you. He has not failed you over here. Has not failed you. Over here, not failed you, has not failed you. God is a big God, and he's a God that cannot lie. He is amazing. He won't fail us. So whatever you're thinking about, whatever that problem is, you just say, mm-mm, he won't fail. He won't fail. He's going to bring me out a winner at the finishing line. I may be feeling something in the running, but at the finishing line, I'm going to be a winner. And I just thank God right now. He won't fail us, you guys. Tell that sickness, he won't fail. Tell that problem, he won't fail. Tell that opposition, he won't fail. Come on. Whatever's coming against me, he won't fail. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Just say it. Say it over yourself. Speak life to yourself. Come on. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't. Thank you, Jesus. He won't. Oh, I'm so glad to be here and just to know that, just to know that, you guys, this is in spite of, because some of us are standing here this morning, we got some things going on in our bodies and in our minds, but in spite of it, come on, he won't fail. He won't fail. Just keep standing on that firm foundation. He won't fail. Oh, amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you as we bow our heads. We thank you. We thank you because you won't fail. We thank you because you never failed us, God. Oh, God, for every mountain you brought us over already, God, it encourages us and lets us know that you won't fail, God. And God, even though the enemy would try to make us feel like this mountain that is before us is so big, we have so much in our portfolio of what you've already done, God, that we know that you won't fail. And God, we thank you. We thank you for this week. We thank you for keeping us this week. We thank you for watching over us this week. We thank you, God, that you kept our minds stayed on you, God, that you've given us minds yet to praise you, yet to serve, yet to follow you, yet to call on your name, oh God. We feel like running on in Jesus' name. God, we thank you this morning. God, we ask today, God, that you would bless those that may be sick in their bodies, God, troubled in their minds, a troubling circumstance or situation. And Father, we speak, we speak, we speak over every single one,
yes, Lord,
that you will not fail them. Oh God, may they grasp and grab hold of that word, God, that you won't fail them. You said, lo, I am with you always, always, even until the end of time. And God, we thank you that we know that you are with us. And if you are with us, everything's going to be all right. And so, Lord, we thank you right now for every blessing, God, big and small, God. We thank you, God, that you supplied our every need this week, oh God, that we've all have ate, God. We got clothes to wear. We have shelter. We had a bed to lay in. We had warmth, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We had the activity of our limbs, oh God. You've been so good to us, oh God. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that there was no death in the body this week, oh God. Oh God, that our children went to school and came home. They got on buses,
yes,
and
Lord,
got off of buses this week. Yes. Oh God, you've been so very, very good to us. God, we can't praise you enough for what what you've done, God. We've went from destination to destination, from work to home, from the store to home. Oh, God, and you've watched over and you've kept us. It was your hand upon us, your eye upon us, your grace, your amazing grace, God. And we thank you. And we came in the house, God, to give you praise. And we came in the house to lift up your name. And we came in this house to glorify the name of the Lord, God. We came, oh God, to focus on you, oh God. And that's what we're going to do. For this is the day that you've made. And we will rejoice. And we will be glad in it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and so glad for that song. And just, he won't. Y'all say he won't. Tell somebody he won't. He
won't fail.
He won't fail. Michael, he won't fail.
He won't fail?
I don't care what it looks like. I don't even care what it feels like. He won't. I'm so glad this morning. I have a lot of good reports, and I'm just thankful for all the good reports that I have this morning. And we're going to start because Fourth Sunday is our Youth Sunday, so we have some good reports in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so we want to have a good report for our Dovey. This today I'm going to have y'all stand up. Dovey, stand up. Mm-hmm. So Dovey is got the achievement of Junior Honor Society for maintaining a 4.0. Go, Dummy, go, Dummy! Yes. Thank you, Lord. And then, well, he's not here to stand up, so his mama stand up for him. So we have Elias, amen. And Elias and his dad, where's his dad? Stand up, Sam. So he made it into the state championship and got the MVP. Woo! Yes, Elias did that. Just so, and as we were talking in the office, one of the things that even Monica said, those things are wonderful, but what's greater than that is that he made it through that critical that hit in his health they wouldn't have thought that he was going to play anything, okay? But he's up and he's healthy and he's running. Oh, yeah. He's running. I'm happy about it. Amen. Then our granddaughter, Honesty, she made it into the National Junior Honor Society. Look at these kids. Come on. We're just so glad. Then we look at, and I wish that they were here, but we look at, I want to say Rita, Kathy Ann and Makaya, their team, they won. And one thing about it, she's coaching that team, so I know it's very, important as you're coaching. And the girls had lost some games, but they won that game, walked out winning. And so we're just very excited about that. And we want to lift up Elder Johnny this morning because he's not feeling well, so we will lift him up, Lord. We won't just in the name of Jesus. We lift up Elder Johnny right now, yes, that you will touch his body. Oh, God, go to the very place that's out of order. God, and put it in order. Heal him like only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. We're just so thankful for all our graduates this year. That they graduate. We don't have anybody that got put back. They're going forward in Jesus' name. And so we're just so thankful for Ty. Did I miss anybody? I don't want to miss anybody. You guys, if the children have achievement, please let me know so that I can make sure that, okay, hands are going. Elder Willie. Did I say Elder Johnny?
You said Elder Johnny.
Elder Johnny, you take that one. Okay, okay, okay. And Lord, you know Elder Willie in his home, God. Touch him in Jesus' name. Boy, we got a double prayer, double whammy up here this morning. Amen. And so I just thank God. I also want to tell y'all a good report about Pastor Linda. And I'm just really excited about it. I went and went to the doctor. And some of y'all, I've been trying to get my A1C down. And And just really been working really hard. And when I went, I was really excited about the, because I've had up in the 11s and 12s, A1C, you know. And so I finally got it to a 7, and I was really excited about that. But I was working really, 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 really hard. And when I went in, it was so funny. When I went to see the doctor came in, and he was saying that there's somebody that's pre-diabetic. Somebody's pre-diabetic. And so I'm thinking that he came out the office to my office. I'm thinking he's talking about someone he just saw and that he's trying to tell me, you know, get on it. You know, there's somebody that's pre-diabetic, and this is what you need to do. So I was just sitting there, and then he said, I'm talking about you. And I got so excited. I was like, what? And so I said, you're talking about me? And he said, I'm talking about you, that my A1C is 6.1, and I'm so excited. He actually told me that. He said, your A1C is so good, it's too good, you're scaring me. And he said, you just be careful, because you're going slow, and so I just, you know, I was like, okay, God, just teach me how to stay in balance, but I thank God for him helping me to do that, amen. And then when he looked at, you know, diabetes affects so many organs and things, and so he looked at my kidneys, good, y'all, good. And see, I have, you know, in my family, kidneys, daddy and mama, and so those things has just been, just to get that report, just, you know, it's just a blessing. And so another thing that happened was at the women's, it was at Katya's baby shower. I had stood up, and when I stood up, I just felt these webs, this big web thing go over my eye. And so one of the things that I want to say is that I just preached feelings, okay? And so this whole week, I said, okay, devil, you messing with me now, because everything's, you know, getting to my feelings. And so when I got up, I walked back to the bathroom, and I was like taking my glasses off, and I was like, what is that? And it just floating across my eye. But the good thing that I knew about is that the enemy wanted to make me freak out. But I thank God, because me and Mother Allen had been talking, and she had talked to me about floaters, okay? And she said, you know, I had these floaters, and they just looked like little bugs going across. So right then it was like, maybe these are floaters, you know. She told me about them. Okay, don't freak out. She's well. You can be well. And so then I come on Sunday morning, and I'm in prayer with June, telling June what's going on. And, you know, she's letting me know. I just appreciate so much that there's a great cloud of witnesses. That when we go through things, God has somebody that's already been through it. And so I'm talking to June, and she's praying, and she's letting me know, you know, what it could be. So everything that the enemy's saying, you're blind, you're going blind right now. You're not going to be able to see. That's what the enemy is saying. But through them, I was like, okay. Then I come and I sit down, and the gentleman that was here Sunday on the front row, he begins to pray for me. He prays for everything that was hurting that I didn't even tell him was hurting. And he begins to pray for me. And then he tells me about my eye. And he tells me, you know, it's going to be all right. He said, and I'm thinking, I'm going to need surgery. I'm going to need all this stuff. And he said, no, you're not going to need surgery. You don't get surgery. And so he's telling me all this stuff. So it was like God was already, you know, helping me not to, my feelings to get out of control. And so when I went in, then when I felt like my feelings was kind of like, I got this, and then I go to the door, and I of course, I tell Juan, and he, of course, instantly prays. And so I get in the car, and I'm just thinking, you know, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. But, of course, when I get home, I can't see nothing. I couldn't see anything out this eye at all, nothing out the eye. And I was like, devil, you're messing with my feelings here. And my main thing is because I loved David, you know, one of the things in my spirit was the most thing that I would miss, you guys, and this is kind of crazy, is I've seen all of you guys, and I know how you guys look, but if I couldn't read the Word of God. And so I was picking up, and having a hard time reading. I was like, Jesus, please, you know how I love to read you. Everybody, they like to hear it on tape and all that. That's not me, God. I like to read the Word of God. I like to see it. And so when I got there to the doctor, first of all, miracle. Amen. that David called the eye doctor and
your doctor.
My eye doctor, and I wouldn't be able to be seen until the end of June. And so, this seems more like an emergency to me. And so, end of June. And so we're waiting. Then we call the doctor that Elder Otis Nim recommend, and he was on vacation till Thursday. And so I said, Lord, you must, from Monday to Thursday, you must want to do something with these feelings that I'm feeling, this fear that's coming over me. You know, I just preached this. Help me to just, so I had to keep talking. Thy will be done, Lord, mm-hmm. whatever your will be done. Then the lady calls, and there's a cancellation. At Shields, there's just been a cancellation, and we want you to come in. And so you guys, now y'all might be like, what this is? Okay, so they told me, I still can't see y'all out the left eye, okay? Everything out the eye I can't see, okay? But they told me one thing that they told me that I was excited about, that the retina is not detached. You guys, that's a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah, I would have had to have surgery. But what it is a blood pool behind my eye. He said it looks like a Christmas globe. You know how the Christmas globe has all those things in it when you shake it up, which is exactly what when I look down at a chair, everything looks like it's running. But one of the things that he did say, and I was just sitting there, I was like, Lord, what is he going to tell me? And he said, you're going to see. Your eye's okay. He said this blood just has to get out your eye. Blood it'll cells. Take a couple of weeks, and it'll get out. Come on, y'all. Thank God
now.
With
Praise
me. I got some good reports, he said. And in the meantime, I said, God could have done it in an instant, y'all. And I was like, God, just do it. But there's just so many things that when we're saying, God, just do it, God's not just concerned about my eye. He's concerned about my heart. He's concerned about establishing a truth in me that no matter what's going on, I can trust him, okay?
Yeah.
I can trust him. I can believe him. And sometimes we want things done really, really, really fast and just do it, Lord. And you know how we are when something is just done, we just take it for granted. But when I had to wait, I had to really evaluate my feelings. I have to evaluate, everything that's going on. How much do I trust you, God? God, if you take both eyes, what am I going to do? Will I yet trust you? You know, it's so easy to say, I will trust you always. Until something begins to happen in our lives.
Come on.
And so I just thank God for the journey. That's what I thank God for the journey. And I thank God that he didn't have to, because most people, you know, when they hear anything in my body, they go, you need to stop eating them sweets. You need to stop. But they don't even know what I'm doing. You need to stop eating those sweets. You need to watch what you're doing. You need to watch your diet. But they don't even know what I'm doing, okay?
All right.
But I thank God that God knew what I was doing. And he knew how hard I was trying and how hard every time I would eat something. And one thing God told me was, there's a lot of people that think they know about diabetes, but they don't know about diabetes. But diabetes is about not cutting everything, because everything, almost everything you eat except vegetables has sugar in it. And so the thing is learning how to balance it. And my word that has got me through has been no diet or anything. Right. It has been God's word. Do everything in modesty.
Moderation.
And so when I eat a cookie, it's a cookie. When I used to eat 5 cookies in modesty. And God is just showing me that. It's just modesty. You don't have to eat the whole half a pie. Just eat
just
the
quarter.
Slice. And so I thank God for what he's showing me in modesty, that man will put a rule or something on us that we cannot do. But God won't. He will put on us what we can do. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the good reports in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful. Oh, one last good report. You guys, some of y'all don't know, but we do have a new businesswoman in the house. All right, and it hasn't opened yet, but all us ladies that are waiting for shoes, it's going to be opening in June 17th. And you guys just right by there and look and point your hand toward it and say, in the name of Jesus, Father, let it be what he's calling it to be. I don't even see it just as a shoe place. She's going to teach them how to walk. And that walk is going to be in Christ. And so I just thank God as God brings people. See, because we're not just in the house. We're in the marketplace, too.
Amen.
And in the marketplace, we can shine our lights and lift up the name of Jesus. And so we're so thankful for what God is doing in the refuge home, and just thankful that God is going to show them how to navigate that. And we're just thankful. God is doing great things. Come on, in the house of the Lord, just look around. There's just so many great things. We got Ajane and them. They got a house. Little young couple got a house. Come on.
Beautiful.
You guys, y'all, we should be clapping. Come on. These are things. These are good things,
praise
you know.
God.
We got our entrepreneur. I don't never know what Kanisha's going to do next. Kanisha, our property owner that'll just go out there and get some property. I'll never know what she's going to do, but I thank God for she shows in her singleness that God said, I'll be your first husband. And she's showing that God is just moving in that. And so we just thank God for every single one. We thank God, Michael, I don't want to forget you. I want to thank God that Michael sit in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Come on. Some of y'all do not know how much pain that he's in. Some of y'all do not even know the reports of the doctor and you know, the different reports that he has to go to, the different, you know, going back and forth to the doctor. But we got God over cancer. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
That's the C over the C. Christ over cancer. I thought of that, you guys. You say you didn't think of nothing. God gave you that. That's the Christ over cancer. And I just thank God every time I see him come into the house of the Lord. Come on. We have seen God heal of cancer and deliver cancer.
Amen.
And I just believe that as he keeps coming in and he keeps staying with the Lord, our mindset is healed in Christ. And that gives us strength over what the flesh is trying to do.
Amen.
And so I just thank God every time I see him here. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I don't know, this morning God just telling me to make sure y'all know that Ron, I'm thankful for you.
Amen.
Thankful for you. Thank for you coming. I don't even know what the obstacles are, but he knows. And people don't know. They don't always know. But he knows. Thank God. Scott, he knows. Thank God. He knows what's going on in our bodies that we don't even tell nobody about. Come on. But he knows. Come on. And I thank God for everybody that made it through this work week, because I don't know what you went through, but he knows. And he lets you make it through this work week. So we're all here in Jesus' name, and I just thank God for being here. And so we're getting ready to, I think we're getting ready to do our offering. Is that right? Okay, it's our offering time. And let's get our minds ready to give some more. We've been giving this morning worship. Now we're about to give some more worship. Okay. Jessica.
Good morning. So we're going to pray for our offering. This is a time that either manually write on the tithing envelope, or you can get on your cell phone and go on the Givelify app and give unto the Lord. So we're going to go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, just like we sang this morning, that you are faithful in every season. God, we thank you that we can look back and we can see how you have carried us through COVID, the scariest economic time, and not just in the world, but just in every household, not knowing what in the world we're going to do. But God, we thank you that we all have our individual testimonies of how you provide.
Amen.
Because truly, they need to know God is a forgiving God.
He is
a loving God.
Yes.
Amen. Oftentimes we've been indoctrinated about the anger of God, or the, you know, all that, but they need to know that he is a loving, forgiving God. Amen? Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord for them. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord, for this day. Lord, the opportunity you give us, Lord, to come, Lord, and we pray right now, God, that your spirit would have its way in this place, Father, as we turn our attention to your word. Speak to our hearts and our minds, God, because you are our help and our strength. You're a deliverer, God, and we know that, Lord, without your hand watching over us, so many things could take place in our lives, God, but you make a way. You bring us out, God. Lord, and we thank you for that right now, Lord, and we just say let your spirit speak to our hearts and our minds. And we pray even for the young man, Evan Griffiths, that broke his neck, God, and is paralyzed, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just touch and strengthen his body. But above that, his mind and his soul, Lord, that he would know you, God. We just lift him up in prayer, God. And all those that are going through so many difficulties of life, Lord, you are the answer. You are the help and the strength that we need. And we call upon you right now to let your spirit have its way. Lord, let us be that light and that salt, Lord, that points them unto you. If they don't know you, God. Lord, that we could be able, hallelujah, to draw them through your spirit to acknowledge who you are. So speak to us through your word. Let our hearts and our minds be open and ready to hear and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me? Turn that one off. Turn this up just a little bit more. So how y'all doing this morning? Are we blessed? Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amongst the saints of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I always enjoy seeing the young people come up. Amen. But I just want to pause first and just give recognition for Memorial Day this weekend, as you know, so many people pause to celebrate and to acknowledge, amen. It's a celebration that honors all those who have gone before us, amen, and paid the ultimate price for our freedom, amen. And just believe that, you know, one thing we find out, amen, that freedom is not free; it costs. Amen, to have freedom, amen, and whether it's in this nation or any other nation around the world, and not only here, even as I was, you know, thinking about, you know, this on last evening, I was thinking about even the war in Ukraine, where so many are yet laying down their lives, fighting for their nation, for what their right to be sovereign as a nation, and even the innocent casualties, amen, of those that are fallen victim to this unjust war. Somebody's got to rise up and fight for what's right. Amen. And I think about that because, you know, Memorial Day is a reminder, amen, like I said, that freedom isn't free. And we think about just this, you know, the cost of our sins, the cost of our, you know, not having to spend, you know, time in a place that wasn't designed for us. Amen. To be free from all that, someone had to pay that price, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen. Who went to the cross. Amen. And he was that ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. Amen. That we may be able to lift up our heads. Amen. And our eyes unto the author of our salvation. Amen. Remembering, amen, that it cost that. So let's remember, no matter what it is, somebody has gone before us. Somebody made a sacrifice, both spiritually and naturally. So as we celebrate, amen, be thankful. You know, we can think about some of the attacks that have taken place, amen, on our own soil, you know, Oklahoma City bombing, and of course 9/11 attacks against, you know, the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and again targeted toward the White House, amen. So we're not impenetrable. I mean, the enemy can get in, amen, and it's the same way spiritually. Amen. If we're not careful, the enemy can get in. Amen. And steal what God has made available to us. Amen. So we got to keep our guard. Amen. And continue to pray and realize that, you know, again, freedom is not free. Just tell somebody. It costs something to be free. It costs something. Amen. To be free.
Amen. Even from sin. You got to lay down some things. You got to let some things go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. But I'm not going to go down that road this morning. But with all that said, it's still a blessing to be with you this morning. Amen. And be able to come and to share this month. Amen. It seems it's been a month since I've stood before you to bring the message. Amen. We've had some good word, amen, that has come forth over these last 4 weeks. As you know, I think back on April 30th, Pastor Linda brought the message, receive him. Y'all remember that? Receive him. Amen. Talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then on June 7th, somebody spoke a word, if not Christ, then who? Who was that? Reverend Paul brought that one, amen. If not Christ, then who? If you're not going to humble yourself and receive him, who are you going to turn to? Who are you going to trust in? Who are you going to call on? Amen. The Ghostbusters ain't going to help you. Amen. You got to call on Jesus. Amen. And then we had Pastor Sam on Mother's Day came, amen, and spoke a word, a message to the moms. Amen. Think about the importance and thank God for moms. And then on last week, we got a good one, another good one, I should say. Amen. From Pastor Linda, amen, talking about healing for our feelings. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody got your feelings healed this week? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't want to get caught up. I mean, even as she was testifying, we don't get caught up in them feelings. Feelings will take you down a road you don't want to go. Amen. Amen. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. Help, amen. So we got to lay aside them feelings, amen. And not to say we ignore our feelings, but we question our feelings, amen. We acknowledge our feelings, amen. And then we run them past the Word of God. Is this true, amen? But I'm not going down the road this morning either, amen. I don't have a lot of time, but I just want to thank God. So today, amen, I'm going to speak to us, amen, from the message titled "The Greatest Gift of All." Amen. And you know, over the past few months, we've been touching on and talking about here and there the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who he is and how he operates. Amen. Embracing the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's important. Amen. I feel that we believe. It's imperative that we believe and truly understand how vital it is that we understand him. Amen. And the operation of the Spirit. Amen. And to give our all diligence, amen, to really get the importance of that, amen, that presence operating in the lives of believers. Amen. That's you and me. Amen. And every believer, amen. Sometimes we don't acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit like we ought to. Amen. And sometimes, you know, if I could say it like this, sometimes prayer or calling on the Holy Spirit is what? The last resort. You done tried everything else, kind of like the woman with the issue, amen. All her spent all her money and did everything else she could do, and finally, when she had no other option, amen, she came and trusted in Jesus. And guess what? He didn't reject her, amen. But he received, amen, her faith, amen, and she was healed. Amen. But imagine if she'd have went to him first, amen. She said he had a lot of money. I mean, she could have saved a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of grief, a lot of anguish. Yes. Amen. If we just go to him first and say, help me, Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. Help me to stand. Help me to be who you want me to be able to stand. So you know what? In order to you know, lay out this message, I got to go back a little bit to, you know, and maybe touch on just some of the scriptures that we've touched on here recently. Amen. Just as I share a narrative with us, because truly it's important that we understand how this all came to be. What Jesus, we looked at so many things, amen, that Jesus said to them in preparation in the book of John, telling them, amen, about sending the Comforter and how he, you know, helped them to understand who the Comforter was, and he was going to send the Comforter, amen, that it was expedient for him to go, otherwise, all those things are important because he was laying a foundation, amen. He was preparing them for his exodus, you know, that in his human presence, he was saying, preparing them that there's something more to come. So we're going to go to the book of John, again, just to start us off, amen, and then we're going to look at how the gospel writers recorded his departure in so many ways, right. Amen. But in John 20, 19 to 22, he said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now, this is the just a couple days after Jesus was crucified. Amen. So we're looking at this. Amen. And he said, Jesus came, you know, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. I mean, they were still fearful. The Savior had been crucified. Amen. They still shook up. Amen. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, and when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Yes. Now, he's been crucified. He's come back, and now the first thing he's letting them know is, you know, be at peace. I'm real.
Come on, Jesus.
You're not looking at a ghost. You know, look at this, look at my side, check the holes in my hands, amen, you know what happened, amen. But he's telling them, I'm going to send you. But after he says that, the first thing he tells them after that says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, he talked them up before he left. Just before he left, he talked them about the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Amen. Preparing him. Now he's been crucified. He comes back, and the same thing is on his mind.
Lord Jesus.
So that tells me if it's the last thing I told you before I died, and it's the first thing I tell you after I'm resurrected, this must be important. It's got to have some significance. Amen. Because he's not letting this topic go. Amen. And, you know, we look at this encounter. He could have talked to them about so many different things. He could have said, I've been to the heart of the grave. You know, he could have told them all these different things, but he's staying on topic. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Amen. And helping them understand. So he breathed on them. Amen. And that kind of like when the Lord breathed, you know, when he formed Adam and he breathed the Spirit into him, he became a living soul. He's telling them, prepare yourself to receive something. Now, this is the apostles. This is those that were with him for 3 years, watching his ministry, seeing the miracles and all these things, but he's letting them know you're still lacking something. Uh-huh. Amen? So he tells them, amen, you need to receive this. Now, when we look at how Luke recorded this, let's look at Luke 24. Amen. You know, again, after he appears unto them, showing them the wounds in his hands, the side, amen, and Luke adds a few more details because he tells them, I mean, he lets them know that he asked them, do you have any meat? You know, he didn't just show them the holes in his hands and his side and his feet, but he said, you got any meat? And he ate some fish and a honeycomb, let them know I'm real. I mean, so he did all that. But then look what he says in the 44th verse, amen, 24th chapter. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen. Oh, and then this one passage I always like because it helps us to see that we can read something and don't understand. But he said in 45th verse, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. How many times, you know, as they were walking with Jesus, they asked him to explain this or explain the parable or whatever, amen. And but now he's leaving and he opens up their understanding. Sometimes we need to pray that, Lord, open up my understanding so I can understand the scripture. Amen. So he opens their understanding that they might understand and said unto them, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, note this, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's giving them instruction. I'm back, y'all. I'm real, so I want you to go to Jerusalem. Tarry means to wait. Go there and wait. Stay there until you receive power from on high. Amen. So this is Luke's closing salutations as Jesus. And, you know, and if that wasn't enough, amen, then we look at several places in the book of Acts, amen, as they write, you know, in greater depth, amen, because Luke wrote Acts. But we won't get to Acts right now. Amen, because I want to touch on a couple of the other Gospels to see how they wrap this thing up, you know, and how they all coincide, amen, with this same message that he gave them after his resurrection, which I think is very interesting. Amen. Then we'll begin to dig a little deeper. But let's see what Mark said. In Mark 16:14-20, it said, afterward he appeared unto the eleven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that which had seen him after he was risen. So I like putting these together because it shows that each one of the gospel writers took note of a different thing. Right. You know, some of the same, but, you know, when you put it all together, you get a fuller picture of this visit that he had with them, you know, before he was ascended up following his resurrection. Now, he chastised them. Y'all didn't believe. You know, that's what upbraided me, and he got on their case. You know, y'all didn't believe. Even when Mary told you, amen, and the other two that seen me on the roadside, you didn't believe them. You know, so he had to get their attention. This is me. Pay attention. Amen. Because he said, you believed not them he had seen after he had risen. In 15th verse, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, again, this is instruction that he's given them, but to keep note, he told them in this same scenario to go to Jerusalem. Amen. He said, now he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now listen, he said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink. And if, no, he said if, not when. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. So then after the Lord had spoken these things, he was risen up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. Notice what he said. The Lord working with them. They had something on board, okay? And confirming the word with signs following. So let's see what Matthew had to say in this context. Now, we don't look at John. We looked at Luke. We looked at Mark. Now, what did John have to say in 28, 9, and 10? I'm going to read those two verses, then we'll jot down. Amen. He said, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus, now they had seen him, and they're going to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. In other words, they bowed down. Amen. And grabbed his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. In other words, go tell them, go to Galilee, amen, and they're going to see me there. And then we go down to the 16th verse. He says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you. How is he with them? How is he with us? The Holy Spirit. Come on now. Even unto the ends of the world. Amen. So we look at the obedience of the disciples, amen, once they were commanded, once they had their encounter with Christ, amen, following his resurrection. You know, because they walked with him for 3.5 years, and once he was crucified, sentenced, and killed. He was crucified. They just kind of fell by the wayside, hiding, as we've seen, you know, and, for fear that, you know, that they were going to get in trouble, amen, that they would be next, amen. And not until he was resurrected and came back and spoke to them again did they regain some courage, amen. And he told them to go, amen, to Jerusalem and wait. And I love the fact that, you know, they were obedient. Wait and do what I tell you to do. You know, and I want us to notice that in the scriptures we'll see the Lord calls the Holy Spirit a gift. Amen. Now, one thing that, you know, I don't think we touched on this, you know, a little bit even on Wednesday. A gift is something that you don't have to pay for. Right? A gift is something you can't earn. Amen. It's not based on your merit, not when it's coming from God. Sometimes we base the gifts that we give on the merit of the person. Right? Right? But see, when he says, we're going to see here in the book of Acts what he says about that gift. Amen. So let's go to Acts, amen, 1, the first chapter. Amen. As the acts of the apostles are being recorded. In other words, their actions are being recorded, them and the Holy Spirit operating. But in this first chapter, starting at verse 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That means after his suffering. That's what the word passion really means. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, now this is the passage here, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So he commanded them. It wasn't just a suggestion. He commanded them. You know, the other passage said go and tarry, but it said he commanded them to go to Jerusalem and wait. Amen, until you receive the power, the promise. Amen. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, not many days from now. Amen. It's coming. And when they, therefore, will come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. You're asking the wrong question. Amen. But ye shall receive power. I want y'all to say that with me. Ye shall receive power. Now notice the next word. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now you got salvation. But he said you shall receive power. How many of us could use some power? Well, thank God for the power. Amen. The power comes with the Spirit. Amen. It comes, amen, with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're going to look and see some of that if time permits. But he says, after the Holy Ghost has come up, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. Amen. Now, from that point, amen, when it happened, they went and they waited. How many of us in here, amen, when we stop and think about waiting for the Holy Ghost, waiting for the Holy Spirit, if you want to say Spirit, amen, to come upon us, amen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. And we're going to begin to see some things here because he's already laid a foundation for the presence of the Spirit in our lives. He made it important. He called it, amen, a gift, amen, for us. So we begin to look, amen. And so they left the mount, and they went to the upper room, and they waited. And as we look at that, Acts 1, I'm going to drop down again to the 13th verse. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and their abode. Now, you ever wonder who was in the upper room? Okay, we're going to look at it. There abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, Judas the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot. Okay, and he was already gone. Amen. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the names together were about 120. So you got the disciples, you got his mother, his brothers, amen, and all together 120 people. And it was a big room, amen. But they're there waiting. But they wasn't just sitting around chatting. Amen. They were in prayer. It says in prayer and supplication, amen. Calling on the name of the Lord, amen. And I like that because sometimes we're going to have a fellowship. We're going to have a potluck. But they was in prayer because he said, go wait till you get the power. You receive the power, amen. So they was in prayer. They were seeking him. And in this time, the Feast of Passover was coming up, amen. And the day of Pentecost was about to take place, amen. And this is all on purpose. The timing of this was not accidental. Amen. There's a lot that goes with that. But we begin to see, you know, it said Peter stood up. What he was standing up to do was to organize a vote because obviously once Judas had betrayed Christ and went and hanged himself, that only left 11 disciples. And they had to have 12 disciples because God has a purpose in the number of 12. Amen. Even down to them ruling and reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel. So they had to pray, and as the scriptures say, cast lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, and he took Judas's bishopric, or his position, his place amongst the disciples. So that's what that was all about. But then we go to the second chapter, and let's see what happened in that upper room. Amen, as they were praying in prayer and supplication. 2:1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, amen, the day of Pentecost also coincides with what? The Passover. Amen. And the Passover is what? That's representing the passing over of the Spirit of God when he was releasing them from Egypt. See, there's a lot of things. I can't really go into that right now. But he said, the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Didn't come from outside. It came from heaven. Amen. As a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. That means all 120 or so people that were up there, amen, the Spirit of God came and fell on all of them. Amen. And then it goes on, and they were all filled, say all, didn't leave nobody out. That means his mother, his brothers, the disciples, I mean the apostles, all of them up that were waiting were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I like this passage in King James. It says ghost. Amen. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, there was evidence of the tongue. I mean of the filling of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because all these nations had come together not for this event, but they came together for the Feast of Passover. So this is a perfect time to get this and demonstrate this power, amen, because Peter stood up after this, amen, he began to preach the first New Testament message to the New Testament church, which has just been born on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And we take note of some of the things that he said. If I look at verse, 2:33, he said, therefore, as he was wrapping up the message, that's what the therefore means. I'll let you go back and read the rest of it because I don't have time. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. In other words, Christ has been risen. Amen. And he has sent the Holy Spirit down. Amen. He's there. Amen. And then we go down to verse 37. I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but I'm counting a narrative here. Amen. How things flowed. Amen. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts because he broke it down. Y'all crucified the Lord who came to be our salvation. You know, he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. Everybody say gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And you say, what should we do? Now we're convicted. We recognize our fault, our shortcomings, our actions that were wrong. And the first thing he tells them is to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to change, to turn your way of thinking, to change the way you see things. Repentance doesn't mean to say, I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry means I'm sorry. And sometimes we're sorry because we got caught, but sorry don't change a whole lot of things. But he said when we repent, that means to change your way of thinking. Yeah. Amen. And if you change the way you're thinking, your actions are going to follow. Amen? So he told them to repent. Amen. But he went on to say, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all, and to all, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. In other words, all those he's calling unto salvation, as you draw unto them, this promise is for everybody. Yeah. Amen. Let me say that again. This promise is for everybody. Yeah. Amen. I look at this gift of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I call it the greatest gift of all, amen, is because the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you get the power. Amen. And this power enables us, amen, to walk through all kinds of circumstances. It enables us to understand the Word of God even better. It enables us, amen, to stand when the trials and tribulations of life come and begin to beat us down and struggle. You know what? I would go so far to say, if I don't think I would still be saved if I had not received the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Because if I was just depending on my salvation and my understanding alone, there's times in my life I know that would not have been enough. But because of the Holy Spirit being on board, it took me past my feelings. It took me through the circumstances and the situations. So that, to me, I mean, it's the greatest gift because it helped me to walk out my salvation in a way, man, that I'm not tripping and stumbling. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, especially as he's described it here in the book of Acts with the evidence of speaking in tongues, can't nobody tell you nothing else. Can't nobody turn you on because you know that you know, amen, that it wasn't you. Amen, that came upon you and filled you and began to speak through you.
Yeah.
It wasn't you. It was him showing up. And if I could say showing out. Amen, so that we would know that we know that no matter what this world does, nothing compares, amen, to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, amen, and the evidence. Say, ask somebody next to you, do you got the evidence? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. See, it's the evidence that's helped me to walk out my salvation. It's the evidence that I can stand on that when it seems like everything else is falling apart, I don't have to think back very far because there was nothing like that day when he showed up in me. I didn't have to have nobody else's testimony. Amen. I didn't have to depend on, what grandma said or anybody else. Why? Because I knew that I knew that I knew. Amen. Ain't nobody can turn around no matter how much, amen, they try. They can't turn it around. Then we get to the 8th chapter of Acts. I'm going to show you a little bit more evidence here. In the 8th chapter, 14 through 20, it says, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them. Amen, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, no, watch this now. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. Think about that. They were saved. They were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen, they received him. Amen, they believed the whole nine yards. Amen, but he said, he was yet fallen upon none of them. They were Christian. disciples, even believers. And look what 17 said. Then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You mean you can get saved, you can be saved and not be filled with the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all quiet now. But ain't that what the scriptures just told us? Yeah. Amen? It just let us know they were saved, but they didn't have the power. That's why I say it's the greatest gift of all. Amen. They didn't have the power, amen. But he laid hands on them that they, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, notice this, uh-huh. And when Simon saw,
come on, Jesus. That's
right?
Come on.
What did he see? He saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. In other words, he saw something in me. He saw the power of God pouring out of them as they began to speak, the Spirit came upon them. Amen. And he said, I want that. He wants the power to lay hands. But I'm wondering, did you have the power on board? You know, because notice that I can't go through the whole narrative, but he said, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. No, not for sale. You can't buy this power, this gift. Amen. It's a gift. It's got to be given. Amen. And he went on down, and I like it because he after Peter rebuked him, he repented and said, pray for me that these things don't happen to me. You know, he changed his mind real quick. Then we jump to the 10th chapter of Acts. Verse 44 to 48, he said, while Peter yet spake these words. Now, he's come to preach unto these folks. He said, while he was yet preaching, while he's yet teaching these words to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, talking about the Jews that were traveling with him, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which were received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now notice this case. These folk, just with an open heart to hear and receive, they received the Holy Spirit before they even got baptized. Let's see. So, you got to be saved first. No, God sees the heart. Amen. They had already received. Amen. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he commanded them, well, y'all got the Holy Ghost. Y'all got to get baptized now. Amen. So they took him and baptized him. So there's no before or after a requirement here. Amen. God is looking at the heart, and he wants to fill all men, amen, with the same power. Amen. And even when the Jews saw that and being astonished, amen, that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost because we heard them speaking with tongues. Evidence. Everybody say evidence.
Evidence.
Okay, evidence. We got and see, the evidence ain't the Holy Ghost. Amen. Evidence just proof that he showed up. Because he's more than tongues. Let me just say that right now. He's more than tongues. But tongues is the evidence to let you know, okay, he showed up. And the evidence is for everybody. The evidence is really for you. For you. Amen. It's just, so we need to recognize that. Amen. So as we look at this, and he said, well, y'all got to get baptized now. Y'all done come this far. You got him on board. You got the power. Amen. Now we need to get you baptized for remission of your sins. Amen. All these things work together. Then we go to the 11th chapter. I'm in a hurry because I want to get this done. But I'm praying, amen, that it's sinking in, that God has a play in the system. Before he left, he told him, amen, I'm going to send the comforter. And when he came back before his ascension, he said, you know, go receive the Holy Spirit. So what did the apostles do after he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scripture? They went and began to preach and teach exactly what Jesus told them to do. They understood, amen, and they began to walk it out. Acts 11:15 says this, and as I began to speak, again, just the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. You remember on the day of Pentecost? He said, on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, I can go back to the book of John in the 14th chapter. He was dealing with that. Amen. So we begin to see this thing, this Holy Ghost thing is very important. It's important that we have it. In 17th verse says, for as much then as God gave them the light gift, there's that word again, it's a gift, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I should withstand God? In other words, he's pouring out his spirit on the Gentiles. I can't fuss with God. God know what he's doing. So no, this one is supposed to be the Jews. No, God already broke that paradigm. Said no, all that he would call all that are far off, that we would trust him and believe him. Amen. And I thank the Lord, amen, because he makes it so clear in his word if we dig in and see. Amen. And then we get to the 19th chapter of Acts. This is a good one. First verse. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He found disciples of Christ. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because oftentimes we're told, you just believe and receive him, the Holy Spirit comes. And that's not necessarily the case. He's with you. Let me say it like that. He's with you. But we want to have him in you. Remember how Christ told them, when Jesus told them, and when we're looking at the book of John, he said, you know, I won't only be with you, but I'll be in you. He made that clear to them before he was crucified. You know, that I'm not going to, because I can only be with you in so many places in human form. But he said, if I send the Holy Spirit back, I won't only be with you, but I'll be in you. So this is what following up here, amen, and letting them know, you know, and seeing where it came to pass, amen. So he asked him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They're Christian. They're saved. They're believers. They're disciples. Whatever other name you want. But they're saying, we don't even know nothing about no Holy Ghost. We ain't never heard about no Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't know if there be any Holy Ghost. That's important because there are many Christians that are in that same boat. They're saved, amen, and they're walking out this salvation, amen, based on their knowledge and holding on to their salvation with all they can. Based on the word, they love God fully and truly. They are saved, amen, but they just have not been brought to the knowledge and the understanding of the power that comes when you receive the Holy Spirit. It helps you. It strengthens you. It helps you to be able to stand. But he said, we don't even know if there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him on Christ, that is, on Christ Jesus. In other words, you know, they were baptized by John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, amen, which was good, amen. That's all they knew. You know, you can't fault them if they're doing the best of it all based on what they know, right? You know, so it's not that they was wrong, they just were not fully informed. So he recognized that. And then he said in verse number 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Again, the evidence showed up. Amen. He laid his hands on them. Amen. And they spoke in tongues and began to prophesy. Amen. Something they probably had never done. I'm sure they had never done. Amen. But we begin to see, amen, that it's for whosoever will accept and believe and walk after, amen. Because truly, we live in a time, amen, where we need all the power we can get. We need all the strength, the spiritual strength we can get. Amen. We need to have a I know that I know experience. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing, no experience. I mean, you getting baptized. I remember getting baptized. It was a good experience. Amen. When I gave my heart to God, amen, it was a great experience. But when the Holy Spirit came on board, it was like the 4th of July. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it was all the other experiences got me to that point. Amen. But when the Holy, and I know I'm not the only one in the room. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit came on board and that power hit me, oh my goodness. I can remember going to the altar that Wednesday night. Amen. No, it was a Sunday evening service. When the pastor been praying, preaching, and teaching, amen, we had a great worship service. That's why I thank God for the worshipers. Amen. And then when the bishop got up, he said, you know, he didn't even preach that night. The service was already high. And he got up and said, if anybody want, and that's all I had to hear. I was on my way to the altar because I knew what he was getting ready to say. And on the way up there, I said, this is my night. If I don't get it tonight, it's not for me. I mean, because I had been praying and seeking God for over 3 months, amen. And I don't know, I was in my head, struggling in my head and getting past this flesh and this control and all those things. But see, that night, the Lord says, your turn. Amen. And the church was full. I mean, all kind of people on the altar. And I got up there and began to pray. And I'm going to tell you this because it's important that we understand we are in a warfare. Amen. I get up there, and as I begin to pray, I got a brother on the right, a brother on the left, a brother behind me, and they praying with me and encouraging me, you know, and the enemy is speaking to me. I'm praying. I'm calling on the name of the Lord, and the enemy is speaking to me. You're going to fall. And when he said that in my head, the brother on my right, I mean on my left, he said, if you fall, we'll catch you. Now, how he know what the enemy's telling me? You know, and then the enemy kept on, you don't believe this. People are looking at you. And he said, no, the brother on the left, just keep on praying. Just keep on going. You know, and then the enemy come to me the third time. You know, and it's funny because it's just like he did with Jesus. He kept coming three doubts. Amen. But every time he said something, one of the brothers would refute it. And there ain't no way they could know what was in my mind. And after that third one, you know, I hit the floor. And then brother didn't catch me. No. I hit the floor. But here's the thing. They got me up on my feet, and I'm just praying. I'm gone. I'm like, I am just in another place. Speaking in tongues, amen. Hear myself speaking. You know how that song said, what is this? You know, but I mean, and when I finally opened my eyes, it's like the room was spinning. It just came to a stop. And I looked around that full church, and there was four people in there. Everybody had left and gone home. You know, it was just me and Minister McGee, Pastor Linda, and Lamar Barnes. You know, there's just four of them left there with me. Everybody else, I don't know how long ago service ended. I didn't have no sense of time, but I know when I opened my eyes and I could still hear myself speaking, and you know, Mr. McGee, the one that first started witnessing to me, amen, he was over there, I told you, boy, I told him. He was just gone. He was just up and down, just because he was so happy. Amen. He just couldn't contain himself. And like I said, we have got to get to a place to know that God wants to do this for all of us. He wants every single Christian believer, amen, to have this experience of him coming on board and abiding with us. And once, like I said, when that happens, oh my goodness, you got to hold on to it. Because the war ain't over just because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the power. Amen, because the war ain't over. The enemy will continue to still come after you and try to cause you to stumble. But thank God for that experience, because it helps to help you to stand that power, amen, to shake off the enemy, because he's coming after us. Amen. And see, we got to be ready to tell our testimony of the goodness of the Lord, what he's done for us, amen, and how, amen, he loves us so much that he wants to be with us always. Because the adversary wants to trip us up. I'm going to leave you with these two passages, amen, out of the book of Hebrews to help us to understand the warfare ain't over. Amen. And it's a dangerous thing to vacillate once you've come to that place. It's a dangerous thing. In Hebrews 2, amen, he says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and hear what he said, with divers miracles, the gifts and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. It's his will that we receive. It's his will, amen, to show us that, amen, to know that we know, amen, that can't nothing so easily shake us or move us or turn our hearts, amen. But you got to have make up in your mind, like my mind was made up that evening, that I want this. I need this power, because I can't trust and lean on myself. My knowledge can only take me so far. You know, it can only help me to stand through so much. So I needed a boost, amen. Let me say we need a boost. Amen. And the second passage, I'm going to drop all the way to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. And this is the real passage that really stirs me when I look at it. Amen. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come. All that is... He said, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and have put him to an open shame. We don't want to go down that road. We don't want to be in that place. That's why I think about the other page here. If you sin, you still get it right. You still get it right, but don't turn your back on God. Don't turn your back. Once you receive this thing and you know that it's real, stand on it. Believe it. Trust him. Amen. And let him walk you through every situation. Because, like I said, the warfare ain't over. It won't be over until he takes us out of here. Amen. I don't care if you speak in tongues every day. The warfare won't be over until he takes us out of here. That's why we need to recognize the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, the patience and all those things I don't have time to go into. Amen. But there's so many gifts of the Holy Spirit that operate in us to help us to get through day-to-day living. Amen. To be able to stand in the place that he wants us to stand. But we got to first of all have an understanding that it's available and it's for you. And you can have it as soon as you believe him enough. It took me a few months to get there. Amen. Even after giving my life to the Lord and joining the church and doing all those things, it took me a few months to get there, but I had to get out of my head. And in all the years of walking with people and praying with people, it's that belief that is real. Amen. And one of the biggest things, and I got to say this, you know, because it was one of my issues, is being willing to give up control. How many of us would like to be out of control? No, I know you was quick to raise your hand for in control. But see, I didn't see no hands go up saying we don't like to be out of control. But see, you know what? When we're turning control over to God, that's the best thing you can do. Let me say it again. That's the best thing you can do with your will. Because that's really what it is. Control is your will exerting itself. Can I say that again? Control is your will exerting itself. That's why I love how Jesus said in the garden. Y'all know what he said? Not my will. When he was the flesh man, that the flesh man that did not want to go to the cross, the flesh man that was praying and sweating drops of blood because of the trial that he knew, the cross that was waiting on him that he would have to go to. The flesh man, amen, that was looking for another way. You know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he finally came to the place and said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's when the power can be released into our lives, is when we surrender our will, our way. And that's so contrary to who we are, because we grow up trying to get control. And once we seize some control, we don't want to let it go. Amen. But that's the thing God wants you to do, is just give up your will and let me guide you. Let me take the wheel. Let's stand. We got to surrender it to him. And that's why when I finally realized, I said, Lord, I need this. Because I had to come to a realization that my way wasn't working. My way, amen, was still leading me down the wrong road, amen. And I still had some issues and struggles in my life, even though I had made the step to give my life to the Lord. I still had issues and I still had challenges and I still find myself struggling with this or that. And I needed the Holy Ghost. And after I received the Holy Ghost, he really began to help me to deal with some of those issues. He helped me, amen, to be able to acknowledge those issues, face those issues, and turn from those things, amen, by his power, because I couldn't do it on my own. So if you're here this morning, amen, and you still got some control issues in this area, amen, and you know you need the Holy Spirit, why don't you come on up here? We just want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Just for a little bit. Pray that God is able, amen, to do what you can't do. Amen, to take you where you can't get you. He is the one that's in control. Hallelujah. The altar is open. Because he said it's unto all that are afar off, amen, all that need him. And we call on him, Lord. Say, Lord, send down your power. Send down your power. In the name of Jesus. As we pray, let's reach our hands toward our brother Corey. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah right now, God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand with our brother right now. Lift up your hands, Corey. Sign of surrender. I yield it. I surrender all to you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Lord, we know that you're able right now. And you said, according to your word, God, it is your will that he would receive that power, God. As he comes and he's waiting and he's calling upon your name, Lord. We pray right now for his understanding, God, and the understanding of each and every one of us to continue to be open to understand your word. But we touch and agree right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, that you would have your way in him, God. We pray over the spirit of control, that will, God, that sometimes wants to go against your will, that will, Lord, that does not want to let go. Lord, that he would surrender it to you, that he would examine himself, God, and surrender it unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that every yoke can be broken, every stronghold can be destroyed, Lord, and that his spirit can be set free. So we cover him right now in your mighty name. We say, let your divine will be done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Move right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're going to keep working with Corey and whosoever will. Amen. For the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that he can have his way in us and we can walk in the power and the authority that God has ordained for deepness of root.
Yeah.
Ain't got no source of water or nutrition. Dried up Christians. Let's get planted. Let's stay planted.
Amen.
Don't be detached.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm going to turn